Romans chapter 3, please. Romans chapter 3. We'll begin reading in Romans 3, verse 19. Are the verses there, Tom? I mean, there are verses? Okay. You'll be able to read the verses behind me this morning. I do have this. Pastor Coat graciously put this together for me yesterday. Appreciate that. So let's all stand, please. You can read along with me in your Bibles, on your phone, on your tablet, from memory, or from the screen, whichever you prefer. Verse 19. Paul says this, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law." Then he gives us the purposes, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty or held accountable, something of that nature, before God. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law," and that's shorthand, without the law means without doing things, fulfilling the law, doing religious things, "the righteousness of God apart from that is manifested." And we won't have time to talk about this today. This will be in future weeks. "Being witnessed by the law and the prophets," which simply says this, friend. Everybody look at me. What Paul is going to say is what the Old Testament also teaches. There are no multiple gospels, friends. He says the law and the prophets, the Old Testament says the same things. Verse 22, "even the righteousness of God." But how do we attain that? How do we get that? "Which is by," the King James says, "faith of Jesus Christ," or modern translations would say faith in Jesus Christ, "unto all," meaning it reaches to every corner of the globe throughout history, to every person, and rests upon every person who believes. "Unto all and upon all them that believe." Why? "For there is no difference." What do we mean there is no difference? Well, "for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The idea being is we sinned, probably Romans 5:12, in Adam, and we also continue to fall short of God's glory. So it's something that we are born with, and it's something that we perpetuate. We continually do. Verse 24, "being justified freely." Some modern translations will take that adverb, which means freely, and say as a gift. They're trying to say the same thing. We are justified apart from any kind of goodness or good works. It's done to us. It's freely done. How so? "By grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Verse 28, which I don't think is on the screen, is the summary verse of this whole chapter. "Therefore, we conclude that a man or a woman is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." That is his concluding statement. This morning, we're going to look at problems with justification. What in the world is justification? We'll talk about that. We're going to deal with problems. We're going to deal with the solution of the text. Because there is a problem, and actually there are several, and the problems, can I say this, are insurmountable for humans. So we're going to look at those problems, and we'll talk about justification this morning, specifically justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's what we're going to talk about. Father, as I try to share these ideas from this, one of the richest texts in all the Bible on justification, Romans 3, 4, and the early part of chapter 5, I would ask that you would help me, Lord, to communicate the gospel that whereby coming to Christ, trusting him and what he did on the cross for us, we are declared righteous because of Christ. Help me to be able to present these ideas this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, please. Justification. We start with this. What in the world is justification? Well, the term justification is a legal, sometimes called a forensic term. We use that a little differently today than they used to, but it's a legal term. It comes from the courtroom and law specifically. It is a verdict. Specifically, it is a declaration. So at the end of a trial, a judge would say, guilty or not guilty? In this case, God is the judge, and God is either going to declare us righteous or unrighteous. It is the final verdict on us. So when you think of justification, think of legal, think of a courtroom, and think, look at me, of a declaration. It doesn't make you righteous, doesn't make you perfect. It is you are declared righteous. Well, I'll begin this morning. By the way, that's all heavy stuff. I begin with a fact. I talked to a friend of mine. His name's not a secret, but it's not important that you know who it is right now. This is the first story he told me from school. He said, Ralph, I have to tell you a story. And I don't remember if he said there was two boys, three boys, four boys, but there were several boys. And by the way, do you all know that I have a philosophy? One boy has a brain. Two boys together, half a brain. Three boys, no brain at all. Now, I don't know why that is, but by the way, please don't counter me. You put a girl, three girls together, they're pretty normal. You put three guys together, they do crazy stuff. Can I have an amen from the guy? It's just the truth. I don't know why. Well, it's funny, but it's not funny. So my friend told me this. He said, Ralph, and I didn't know about this. This would have happened, by the way, in 1972 or 73. So it's been a couple weeks, over 50 years. He said some buddies and I were talking, and we got the brilliant idea to do something to a girl outside. It wasn't the playground, but it was out in front of the school building. We got the brilliant idea to trip her and make her fall into a mud puddle. Judy, you're just shaking your head. Only dumb guys in groups think of things like this. So I don't know if there was three, two, four. There was at least a couple. They got together and they talked about this. Now there's a problem. The young lady, I don't know the proper term today, so I'm going to use multiple terms because I don't know the proper term today because we keep changing it. She was mentally problematic. She was not nothing, but she was, not normal. Retarded, slow, I don't know what the term was, but she had some problems. So my friend and buddies did this. And by the way, here's the problem, Judy, you're shaking your head. I did it to lots of people, but I never did it to other than another guy. And we did it to each other, and we always did it the same way. We would have a couple guys come over and talk to the person, and the other person would slip up behind them, bend down into like this, four points, and you would just jump down, and the other person would push you, and, well, you're going to fall. You say, why would you do that? Stupid, dumb, I don't know. Well, my friend said, I think something like this happened. Two guys walked over to her. One guy spoke to her. My friend was right beside him. The other friend slipped in behind, got down on all fours, and my friend pushed her into a mud puddle. Now remember, first of all, the girl didn't like that anyhow. Correct, ladies? Right. It's really stupid. But it was a young girl with some handicaps or some, lesser development. She fell over into the mud puddle. She got mud and water all over her. She got up and she cried. And my friend told me that in Zogos Restaurant And he said to me, I still wake up in the middle of the night feeling guilty 50 years later. Friend, justification deals with wrongdoing and guilt. Now, there are people in this room that you can't remember anything bad you have ever done. And frankly, I can't either, but the sad part is I have a mother that remembers it all. And she will even tell me things. Justification. Well, there are problems with the whole concept of justification. And I want to deal with three problems in God's solution this morning. The first problem is very obvious from the Bible. God cannot justify a wicked person or a sinner. And I don't want to do religion. Sinner, oh, that's church stuff. Wrongdoing, evil. You've done something wrong. The Bible clearly teaches us, and it says that God cannot declare righteous. It's like you go through a trial. God can't just, we'll come back to that stuff in a moment, wave his hand and say, you're okay. By the way, does anybody know what that's a picture of? That is the Supreme Court. In America, you could go to a lower court local. You might be able to go to another court, another level. And then you would go to the Illinois Supreme Court. And then that's the final one. By the way, there is another final one. God. Go ahead. I think I have some pictures of the justices. That's from a couple years ago. And that's the very latest one. And you say, well, that's a motley crew to be the Supreme Court. Well, by the way, they are not the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is God himself. So let's go ahead and go to the next point, please. Justification. Point number one. The first problem we encounter is this. God cannot justify a wicked person. Proverbs 17:15 says this. He that justifies, that's court language. Whoever declares a wicked person justifies the wicked. And on the opposite, he that condemns the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. Exodus 23:7. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and the righteous slay not. God says, for I will not justify the wicked, the sinful, the one that does evil, the one that does wrong. So we got a problem. If we're going to stand before God, and we're going to stand before him, how can he declare us righteous when we're not righteous? He says he will not justify, declare righteous, the sinful person, the wicked person. Proverbs 24, verse 23 and 24 says this. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, you are righteous, him shall people curse, and nations shall abhor him. You don't declare someone to be a good person who is not. That's our first problem. God cannot justify the wicked or the sinner. Now, friends, may I ask, have you ever noticed how much of our life has courtrooms in it? Many movies, many TV programs, many books, plus just the natural interest. You know, somebody's on trial. What's going to happen? It's part of us, this justice thing, the right and the wrong. Now, I think I say on the board, the judge doesn't make us guilty or innocent. The judge's job is not to make you. He doesn't wave a magic wand, or the Supreme Court doesn't wave a magic wand and make you something. The judge's job is to declare or to pronounce. And the question becomes, how can God pronounce or declare a wicked or a sinful man innocent? How can he do that? How can God pronounce us if we're sinful? That's the first problem. God cannot justify the wicked. All right, everybody look at me. For you three that were sleeping, you just woke up. First time today. Now I'm going to ask you a serious question. Do you know yourself? Look at me in the eyes. Do you know yourself? Are you sinful or not sinful? Can you answer the question? Are you sinful or not sinful? In God's eyes, do we sin or not? Well, we come to the second problem. God cannot justify a sinful or wicked person or evil person. And secondly, the second problem is, according to the Bible, we are all wicked or evil. Every single one of us sins. Romans 3:21 says this, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, it reaches unto all and rests upon all them that believe." Why? For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is an assumption in the Bible that men and women are sinful. We have sinned. So we got two problems. God cannot declare a sinful person just or righteous, but we're all sinful. What are we doing here? How are we going to, what is God going to lie? Look at me. Is God like a mother that looks at their child that's been in and out of prison and say, "My boy's a good boy. He's fine." Is that God? How does he declare us righteous? We have two problems. He cannot justify a sinful person that has done wrong, and we all have done wrong. Well, Romans 3, verse 9 amplifies this. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, in no way. For we have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, the rest of us, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. 1 Kings 8:46, the highlighted portion. For there is no man that sinneth not. That's a common assumption in the Bible, is there is no human that hasn't sinned. Psalm 130, verse 3 says this, If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Friend, it's a hard thing to think that God some way knows everything we have done. So I got two problems. The one problem is God cannot justify sinful people. The second problem is we're all sinful. Well, it's all through the scripture. Psalm 143, verse 2 says, "And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." Ecclesiastes 7:12 is for me the best simple verse. Solomon says, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Those are the first three problems. Now, friend, I haven't been to court too often. I have been to a total of two court cases, kind of. I was in a court case as an assistant pastor in 1986, and I was in a court case here for a young man about 15 years ago that's no longer around here, maybe 20 years ago. And both cases, this is the thing. Look at me. Judges, I want to ask a question. If you knew you were the defense attorney and you knew this guy was you knew he or she was guilty, how do you defend them? But worse than that, what if you're the judge and you know this person is guilty? But somehow the jury doesn't get the point, and the jury says, not guilty. There's confusion. Our problem is this. We stand before God. How does a judge acquit an accused person he knows is guilty? Well, our problems are simple. We are all guilty, and God knows it. And God cannot justify guilty people. He can't simply look over and say, well, you know, I love you so much, and you're my boy, and you're a good... God can't do that. Our God is a holy God. He cannot justify the wicked. The second problem is we're all wicked, sinful people. Now, everybody look at me. Even among Christians, we have people that think, yeah, I'm a sinner, but not that bad. Yes? How bad do you have to be? I mean, according to James, if you disobey one portion of the law, you disobey all of it because it's all connected. So I'm not sure how bad you have to be, but I will tell you this, friend. If you want to enjoy your salvation, you better come to grips with a holy God who cannot just wink and say, I love you so much. Hey, I'm being funny. I'm being facetious. You're an American. It's okay. Or, no, friends, there's no get out of jail card like that. And on the other side, we're all sinful. Oh, I know. Pastor Warren, I got the solution. Have you ever talked to people? I'll do better, Pastor Warren. I'll try harder. I'll go to church. I'm glad you brought that up. That brings us to our third problem. Number one, God cannot justify a wicked, sinful person. Number two, we are all sinful, wicked, evil. And number three, the law makes it worse. You say, I'm going to try to do right. I'm going to try to keep the law. It actually makes things much worse. Romans 3:19 says this. We know that that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. And all the law does is do these three things, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. I'm going to come back to those in a minute, but I want to tell the story. We have a policeman right in our midst. So you're out driving on Highway 294. Now, Tom, you don't have jurisdiction out there. Is that correct? He does. He can get you there, too. You're out on 294. The speed limit says... whatever you want it to be. Now, I didn't ask how fast you drive. I asked what the speed limit was. By the way, I don't know if it's 55 or 60 or 50 in some places. Does it go 65 on 294? It's according to where you're at. All right, let's just pretend it's 70. Now, if you're Pam Hall, my wife, or Christy Lex, They set their speed limit on 69.999. And then there's people, Louis Hedas. He sets his on, is it 70? He sets his close to 70. There is a zero in it. The other thing I think is a close 790. Hold on. Then there's me, because I'm not as perfect as these ladies. But if it's 70, I put it on 75 or something, or 74, and I'm cruising along. And by the way, if you're on 294 and you're doing 74, you're the slowest guy out there. You already know that. I mean, people are driving past you so fast you can't even see them. Actually, you don't worry about what's ahead of you. You worry about what's coming behind you. So you're out there. And by the way, and all of a sudden, a police officer comes, and you know what everybody does? Next thing you know, in a 70, you're driving 52. You know why? Because you're afraid of that ticket and you're afraid of breaking the law. Friends, do you understand God is perfect? And none of, you say, Pastor Warren, this is typical religion. I'm going to try to do better. Try this the next time you get pulled over driving, Louis, 90 and a 50. Now, you don't do that, I'm sure. I'm sure the American does not do that. By the way, I would tell you this. I do that less than I used to. Age slows you down some. I'm still not there with Dada or Michael or people like that, that very kind and slow, and but I'm getting better. But friends, try the next time when the police officer pulls you over and you say, you don't have to write me a ticket. I'm a nice guy. Hey, I'm going to try harder the next time. And of course, by the way, the police officer's never heard this before. You're the first one. You're the first one that ever accidentally sped. Okay. You say, but my wife is pregnant in the back and we need to get to the hospital. Yes, and you're 80 years old. Okay. Friends, you say, Pastor, you're being goofy. No, I'm not. Look at me. Three problems you have. God cannot justify sinful people. And how many of us are sinful? You say, I'm going to keep the law. The law just makes it worse. Because it's the funniest thing. Because I'm honestly, Tom, you said it correctly. I don't know what the speed limit is on, when I get around Chicago, folks, any place on earth you drive slower than that place. It's like, what is wrong with us? And then I'll be driving way faster than I should, and then people are going, psh, 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 and get behind me and get angry because I don't drive 100. But friends, the law, when you have the law, it just makes things worse. Well, let's look back at that text again. The law does three things to us, and none of them are good. Look what it says in verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. The first thing it does in some way I have in your notes or on the board, it eliminates our excuses. What are you going to say? I was speeding. What are you not, I didn't know it. I didn't know that 90 was too fast. Or how about, wait a minute, Pastor Koch. What does a kid do in school? Everybody else was doing it. How's that going to work? By the way, you know what the law does? It eliminates our excuses. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. I want you to hear me. It stuck with me for 40 years. I learned this before I went to Bible college. It's the most provocative statement. He said this. You know if you're saved or not by one way. There's been a time in your life when you shut your mouth and quit making excuses because you knew you were condemned. That's what Paul says. Look what he said. Look, read that again. That every mouth may be, it's just the law simply eliminates, it doesn't help us. It eliminates our excuses. And then it says, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Secondly, it establishes our guilt. It makes us accountable. So it says, yes, you did break the law. And by the way, I'm not trying to be weird. Before a holy God, how can he justify us? How can he save us? He can't justify a wicked person, and we're all wicked, and the law just pours it on top of us. Well, the last concept is found in verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Why not? For by the law is the knowledge. The Greek word is epigenosis, full knowledge. It's the full knowledge of sin. So the law, it eliminates our excuses. Yes, I am guilty. My mouth is closed. I am no longer saying I'm innocent. It establishes our guilt and it exacerbates our sinfulness. It makes it worse. It makes it fully known. How do you like to drive? You're driving down the road. And by the way, I don't know. Tom, you'd have to tell me at another time. But the police put out a little gizmo that does this. 35. And if you're driving too fast, what does it do? Do you understand that's what the law does? The law doesn't say, you're okay. You're a good. No, the law says 35, and then all of a sudden when you're doing 55, it just makes, it aggravates the problem. And friends, everybody that's ever been saved has come to the place where they have recognized their sinfulness before God, their hopelessness. It's not like you can keep more of the law and somehow it all goes away. No, because you've broken the law repeatedly, God's law. You've disobeyed God. You are sinful. God cannot just justify the sinful person. We all sin, and the law just makes it worse. It's like it pours fuel on the fire. Those are the three problems that we have. Well, there is a solution. The solution is found throughout the Bible, emphasized in many texts. We'll read the text from here. But there is a solution. Three problems, one solution. God can't justify wicked people or sinful people. We're all sinful. The law makes it worse. What's the solution? Well, number four, I say this. God justifies us sinful people. He declares us righteous the only way we can be justified. The only way we can be justified. Verse 24. Romans 3, verse 24 gives you at least a portion, a foundation of the way that it can be justified. Solus Christus, because of Christ alone. The Bible always says, because God can't justify a wicked person, and we're all wicked, and the law makes it worse, how does God declare us righteous? He declares us righteous because of someone else. He takes care of us in a different way. Somehow, someone has to pay. Well, it tells you, Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace. Here it is, through the redemption. Redemption was the paying of a price. Through the redemption that is found where? In Christ Jesus. And can I say this? Only in Christ Jesus. The only way we can find salvation is in Christ Jesus. He paid the price. He suffered for us. He suffered for our sins so that we then could be declared righteous because of his righteousness. I'll bullet point this in a moment. Let me say it another way. My wife was there. My children were there, though I don't know if the children would remember the incident. In St. Louis, I pastored for 8 years in the St. Louis area. We had a young couple. I don't know when they started, but they started visiting 2 or 3 years into our church. And when I say visit, they were from North Carolina. They were coming to the St. Louis area because in a hospital there, they did a surgery that their daughter needed, and it was mainly done there. But it was a long process. I mean, she actually had to go through a lot of interviews and maybe several surgeries. So they literally came there for 4 or 5 years, 2 or 3 times a year. Jenny, you remember the couple. I don't remember their names. And sometimes they'd bring another couple with them, friends, family. So they'd always show up, nice folks, great folks, love church. I think it was their last Sunday there. They had gone through the whole process. The girl had had the surgeries, post-surgery, everything. They go through the process, and I think to myself, self, let's take them out to eat. Is that a decent thought? So I asked him, you know, during the service, I said, why, Jenny and I will take you out to eat. After the service, and it was the daughter, husband and wife, maybe another kid, and another couple. There was like several of them. And we went to my favorite place in those days. Now today, I shouldn't even get within 100 miles of one of these places. It was called Lee's Fried Chicken. You say, what's good about it? Grease, potatoes, chicken. What's not to like? Macaroni and cheese, you know, all the stuff that I can't eat anymore. So anyhow, we went there. I still remember the day. By the way, have you ever been here? I went in. There was a bunch of us. Wasn't Don and Edna there too? Think so. I went there. Look at me. I'm going to pay. Sorry. We don't take credit card. What's your next move? Do you have any money in that purse? I'm looking through my wallet. There's a dollar. Can I say this? We bought a lot of food because there was a lot of people, and I thought, I'm going to be generous to them. They can have extra food because they're like going home tomorrow. I bought three times more food. I'm looking through my wallet, and I think I had like, oh, I had some more. I had a five. Folks, here I am taking somebody out to eat, and I can't pay for it. Do you know how embarrassing that is? There is nothing more. I didn't know that Lee's Fried Chicken didn't take credit cards. What doesn't take a credit card? I was just in India. Satish back here knows. In India, they don't need a credit card. You have a phone. Google Pay. I mean, I'm in the middle of the weirdest places in India. I mean, places out in remote places, trying to get a soda, and they had a little sign, Google Pay, in India. Lee's Chicken didn't take a credit card. And I don't have the money. And Jenny, of course, always has money. She didn't have any money that day. Can I say this? This is humbling. These are those emotional memories you have. It still bothers me because I had to go to them and say, folks, I don't have enough money. Can you help me? I want everyone to look at me. I'm being funny, but this is not a funny matter. You and I got a problem. We have three problems. Number one, God, I'm sorry, can't just love you into heaven. He can't just say, you're so sweet. Oh, you're a good boy. No, 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 no. God cannot justify sinful people. Secondly, we are all sinful. Thirdly, the law makes it worse. Then how does God justify us? Three problems, one solution. How he justifies us is someone has to pay. Now, friends, it was very embarrassing that day for me to invite somebody out to eat and them to have to pay for it. Yes or no? I try not to ever get myself in that position. You see, how do you get out of that position? My wife always has money. That's how I get it. You say, Pastor, what does God do for us? Well, here it is, friend. God justifies us the only way we can be justified, solus Christus, because of Christ alone. You don't need to know the Latin, but the Latin is beautiful. It means Christ alone. It's because of Christ alone. It's this, in some ways, it's this simple. God can declare us righteous, not because of us, but because of Christ. Christ gave his life on the cross for our sins. He suffered in our place. He paid the debt. And because of that, his righteousness comes to our account. So when God declares us righteous, it becomes true because of Christ. It's always through Christ, hear me, alone. It's not Christ in a little baptism, Christ in a little church, Christ and a little pastor, Christ and a little religion. It is Christ alone that pays the price. My summary is simply this. A debt is owed. We owe that debt. It is a debt we can never pay. It is a debt that must be paid. It is a debt that Christ paid, and only Christ can pay. And friend, it's found throughout the scripture in many different ways. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He paid a price. His death, his shed blood, his burial, all of that paid a price so that we could be freed from the curse of the law, because we have these three problems. God can't justify sinful people. We're all sinners, and the law makes it worse. But Christ died to redeem us from that law. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God the Father hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He had no sin at all, that we, believers, might be made the righteousness of God in him. Galatians 1:3 talks about grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, always giving its solus Christus because of Christ alone, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God in our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Galatians 2:20, the latter part of the passage says, who love me, yes, but that didn't do it, who gave himself for me. So friend, we have these problems and they crush us. And to say, well, I'm a pretty good guy, I don't do too much wrong, it will work. Because then we're sinful, and we're all sinful, and the law makes it worse. No, it is Christ alone that we find hope and forgiveness and redemption through. In Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The paying of the debt was Christ giving his life. Instead of you and I giving our life, Christ died in our place, solus Christus, because of Christ alone. Secondly, back at Romans 3:24, the King James says it very beautifully. In Romans 3:24, it says, being justified freely. Doreon is a Greek word that means to do something freely, without cost. Some modern translations, not incorrectly, try to say we're justified as a gift. Because, friends, it isn't like we can suddenly, God, you have to do this for me. It is because of Christ alone, solus Christus. It is sola gratia. It is by grace alone. It is something done freely. God freely does this. He's not forced to do so, but God freely sent his Son to die in our place. So my friends, it's never about you being good works, doing good, doing right, doing more, being a good boy, turning over a new leaf, going to church, all of that stuff might be fine. But friend, it's this, it's Christ that paid a price to redeem us. And by redeeming us, God can then declare us righteous because of Christ. And it is done freely as a gift. Actually, it's almost redundant. The verse says this, being justified freely by his grace. It's really saying the same thing twice. It's sola gratia. It is, he does it without payment, without cost, without anything we do. And it's by grace, meaning God himself does it freely. It's solus Christus. That is our hope. Christ alone, by grace alone. And lastly, obviously, sola fide, through faith alone. Every passage, how do you do it? Friends, look at me. We'll look at the text in a moment. Christ died by paying a price to redeem us from this curse that the law puts on us. Because everybody sins, everybody. And because of that, it bears on us more and more. Christ didn't just say, oh, I love you so much, you get a free pass. You're handsome, you're smart, you're cute. No, 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 no. He justifies us. Why? Because of his Son dying. How? By grace alone, freely. Then how do we receive it? Do we do something to receive it? And the answer is we can do nothing. We are not saved because of faith. We are saved because of Christ. Faith simply receives what Christ did for us. Look at the text, please. Sola fide, through faith alone. But now, the righteousness of God, verse 21, without the law, or any obedience, doing good, doing better, etc., without the law is manifested. He says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, this is what the Old Testament teaches too. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that what? Believe. For there is no difference. Verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Friend, look at me, and we're done this morning. I have tried to present as clearly as I can how a person is just with God. Look at me. It's impossible for you to have a right standing with God. And friends, every person will one day, at one time or the other, stand before God. and the verdict that is declared on earth. Because this is not a declaration that happens then, it happens now. You are either guilty or you're righteous in Christ. And friends, you're not righteous in yourself because we're sinful. And we're all sinful. And the law points it out in only too many ways. So what does God do? He sends his son to pay a price. And he freely, as a gift, graciously does something for us that we can't do ourselves. And you say, what do you do, part? Nothing. There's nothing to add. It's through faith that we receive what God has done for us. As God opens our eyes, opens our heart, opens our ears, our eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and as we trust Christ, then at that moment in time, God declares us righteous in Christ. Solus Christus, because of Christ alone. Sola gratia, because by grace alone. Sola fide, through faith alone. He declares us righteous, not in the future, now. And in the future, when we stand before God at the bema seat of Christ, or if you're unsaved, at the great white throne, the declaration then will simply be the declaration in life. Because he doesn't make us this way. We become righteous because of Christ and Christ alone. Amen. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I'm trying this next few weeks to clarify and make crystal clear the gospel. The gospel is not about doing better, living better, going to church, doing some symbolic actions. The gospel is about sinful men like and women coming to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And because of his gracious, free gift, we simply by faith trust Christ in him alone. We add nothing to it. We do nothing for it. It is found in Christ alone. Father, this morning I would ask that you open eyes, open hearts. May we be crystal clear that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Solus Christus, because of Christ alone. Sola gratia, by grace alone. Sola fide, through faith alone. This is our only solution. For without it, we stand not justified, but condemned. Father, draw people to yourself this morning. We ask in Jesus' name.